Introduction. Neglected prayer. More than 20 years ago, in the first edition of this book, 1992, the initial few pages argued that the most urgent need of the church in the Western world is the need to pray. The argument was straightforward. I raised a variety of potential alternatives to the most urgent need claim, and in each case, prayer won out. It would be easy to make the same argument today. We might begin by listing other urgent needs and assessing their right to preeminence. For example, in an age of rising biblical illiteracy, there is an urgent need for the best, the most captivating, the most anointed expository ministry. In an age of greed and consumerism, we must have a rise in integrity and generosity. At a time when sexual promiscuity excites little notice, let alone serious attention, we long for purity without prudishness. Or again, since so few people have any substantive understanding of the gospel, we need bold and articulate evangelists. Shouldn't these pressing needs take a certain priority over reforming our prayer lives? We might expand the list of urgent things to be pursued. As part of our Christian witness, one might argue, it is essential that we demonstrate love for one another within the church. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Not least in practical terms at a time when many are struggling to make ends meet. We urgently need to see churches at the forefront of racial reconciliation. When premarital sex is more common than not, when countless numbers of young men scarcely know how to shoulder responsibilities until they are in their 30s, and certainly do not know how to woo and win a wife with honor, because they are still looking over their shoulders to see if something nicer is coming along behind them. When changes in law and custom regarding homosexuality are everywhere in the land, there is urgent need for clear-headed thinking as to what marriage is. Meanwhile, the widespread loss of Judeo-Christian values in the West means, among other things, that there is less and less ethical consensus in most Western nations. One of the consequences of this development is that the virtue of tolerance no longer involves considerations about how far individuals, and indeed the culture at large, may be permitted to deviate from such values, but has in many quarters become the supreme virtue. In other words, when tolerance is not linked to a widely agreed-upon ethical structure, we tolerate those who disagree with that structure, but is untethered to any structure, it becomes the supreme good, and soon becomes astonishingly intolerant of those who disagree with this new tolerance. All these perceived needs clamor for attention. Should they not be addressed at least as urgently as the reformation of our habits of prayer, both personal and corporate? Or perhaps we should focus on church planting and mission. The last century and a half have witnessed worldwide expansion of the gospel, but there are still thousands of unreached people groups. Moreover, many areas that were in the past evangelized need to be evangelized again. One inevitably thinks of Europe. But because modern approaches to evangelism produce so many spurious conversions, even many areas that seem to be well evangelized are in desperate need of the powerful gospel of the New Testament. Good news that not only reconciles human beings to God, but transforms them. Surely the needs in these areas demand a certain precedence over other urgent calls. Clearly, all these things are important.